You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning, everybody. My name's Gunnar, like David said, and me and my team, we're so excited to be with you here this morning. But before I get started, I've got to get something off my chest. I got to let you guys know something. I've got a problem. Okay, some of you may have the same problem. I keep messing up the lyrics to songs. And I'm like a music guy, but I can't get it right. Like, I've got playlists for everything. Rock, rap, Polynesian elevator music. Like, if you need a playlist, just hit me up after this. But even though I love music, I still keep getting the lyrics wrong. Like, the other day, I'm listening to this song by Adele, and the lyric goes, "Should I give up, or should I just keep chasing pavements?" I thought she was chasing penguins. And I know you're like, "Gunnar, what made you think a British pop star is out here chasing after Arctic chickens?" And I'm like, "I don't know. But hey, we're all sinners here. We all mess up, right? So give me grace." But there's this other song from the Shrek soundtrack. Great movie, by the way. And it's by Smash Mouth. You may have heard it. The lyric goes, "I saw her face. Now I'm a believer." Which is sweet, right? Like, all the girls are like, "Oh, he saw her face. Now he's a believer. That's love at first sight. That's what I'm looking for." I thought it said, "I saw her face. Now I'm going to leave her." I was like, this guy's a savage. The audacity you got to have. I'm like, dude, I'm sure she has a great personality. Give her a chance, you know? And then basically anytime Despacito comes on, I'm like, not even going to try. Okay, can't do English. We're not going to try to do Spanish. It's not going to work. But we've all been there, right? Where we're belting out the lyrics to a song, and we're so confident that our friend turns down the volume and just gives us a look. And it's in that moment we realized we've messed up, right? Because just one word can completely change the narrative to a song, right? And so, as you can guess, today, this morning, we're not talking about some song you heard on Shrek. That would be a strange thing to travel the country and talk about. No, we're talking about the Word of God. And so while missing the meaning to a song can be embarrassing, I think missing the meaning to God's Word can be tragic. So this morning I'm asking the question, are we hearing God's word in a complete way? Because just like a song, isn't it easy to focus on the parts that we know and understand and miss the full picture? Are we hearing it in a complete way? Because this right here is to be what guides our steps in life, to shine a light in front of our path as we walk. And how crucial is it that we get it right? And I'm asking this question because, guys, I missed it. For most of my Christian walk, I missed out on the beautiful opportunity to join God in his purpose because I didn't fully understand it. But you see, luckily, from the very beginning of Scripture all the way to the end, God has laid out a specific desire and mission that we could see all the way through, a consistent purpose that is like a beautiful melody woven into every single story that we see in Scripture. And so this morning, that's what we're going to follow. And it's important for us to know the purpose of this book because it's the same purpose that God has for me and for you. And so what better place to start than the beginning? In the beginning, God creates Adam and Eve and he gives them a command. He says, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." Why does he give this command? Because his heart is for the world to be filled with worshipers who love him. But we all know the story, right? Adam and Eve sin. It invites brokenness into the world and creates this great divide between a loving God and humanity. And things spiral so bad out of control after this, Adam and Eve sin. It gets so bad that God has to hit the reset button. And he starts over with a man named Noah and his family. And so the flood comes, Noah and his family step off the ark, and what do they hear? "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth." God repeats himself, because his desire for the world to be filled with worshipers is important to him. And we continue further in the story, and we end up at Genesis 11 at an event that we call the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel, at this event, humanity comes together and says, "Let's make a name for ourselves." And so they begin building this tower to the heavens, and God looks down at them in their pride, and he gives them different languages and spreads them out across the entire world, which sounds a lot like God's desire, right? For the world to be filled with worshipers, but you see, it's filled with people who are separated from God, not with worshipers who love him. So here we are in Genesis 11, and the world is without hope. They're separated from God spiritually across the entire planet, and they're without hope for salvation. So the question is, how is God going to save the world? How's he going to do it? Well, as we flip the page from Genesis 11 to Genesis 12, God shows us. He gives us a glimpse. You see, Genesis 12 is God unveiling his master plan to save the world. So what does Genesis 12 say? Let's look at it. Genesis 12 says this, "The Lord had said to Abram, better known as Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all nations on earth will be blessed through you." For so long, I had no idea the importance of just these few lines. This is the foundation that the rest of Scripture is built off of. So what's it say? First off, God tells Abraham to leave. He says, leave your comfort, leave your conveniences, but don't just leave those things. Step into the purpose that I have for you, because I have something greater for you. He tells him to leave, and then he says this, I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. He says, Abraham, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to hook you up, Abraham. I'm going to take care of you. But you see, it's not just for you. Look at the last part. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And then hear this, and all nations on earth will be blessed through you. This is God going, Abraham, I'm going to change you to change the world. My plan for bringing the world back in a right relationship with me starts with you, Abraham. You see, God blesses Abraham to bless all peoples. And this is the theme, the melody, the purpose that we're going to follow the rest of Scripture. God blessing his people to bless all peoples. This past summer, I had the opportunity to stay on a campus out in California. And one day, I walk out of my room, and I look down a flight of stairs, and I see this guy, and he's crying. And he's not like a pretty crier. Like, we all have those friends or, like, see people on TV, and they just have, like, one glistening tear that falls down. This guy was not like that, okay? He had, like, red eyes, snot was flowing. He sounded a little bit like a lawnmower starting up. I was like, this guy's not okay. And I was like, I do not want to talk to this guy. Then God was like, you got to go talk to him. And I was like, okay, I guess I got to go talk to him. And so I walk up to him, and in my head, I'm like running through scenarios. I'm like, what's wrong with him? Like, what, did his girlfriend break up with him? Dog die? Somebody unfollow him on TikTok? What's wrong with this guy? But I look at him like, I'm like, hey, boss, what's going on? And he kind of gets startled, and he starts wiping tears away from his eyes, and he looks up at me, and I'll never forget what he said. He looks at me, and he goes, I just realized for the first time what it means to be a son of the one true God. And I just decided to follow Jesus. I was like, is this real life? I'm like slapping myself, pinching myself. This guy just came to Christ and I just walked up on it. How crazy is that? And so I sit down, I start talking with him. And after a while, he looks at me and he goes, hey, God clearly sent you here for a reason. I'm like, yeah, I probably agree with that. And then he's like, what next? I'm like, what next? And in my head, I'm thinking, no pressure, Gunner. But I look at him and I go, have you ever read Genesis 12? He's like, no. I go, start there. I go, start there, because the rest of Scripture is building off the foundation we find right here in Genesis 12. If anyone ever asks you, hey, what's this book about? You could take them to Genesis 12 and tell them that the rest of Scripture is building off the promise that we see here. God blessing his people to bless all peoples. And as we continue throughout the rest of Scripture, this theme remains consistent. With Isaac, Abraham's son, God says this to Isaac, I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed. God says, hey, Isaac, you know the promise I made to your father? It's for you too. And then we continue with Jacob, the son of Isaac. God says this to Jacob, your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. See, God reaffirms his promise with Jacob, but right before this, he does something interesting. You see, when you see in Scripture somebody's name get changed, pay attention because it's important. And that's what happens right here with Jacob. And he changes his name to something you've probably heard of before. Changes his name to Israel. And that's important because Jacob's descendants will grow into the nation that we know as Israel. And that's who we follow for the rest of the Old Testament, the descendants of Jacob, the descendants of Israel. But why these people? Why did God choose these people to bless? He's a God for the world, so why did he choose this people? Well, let's flip to Exodus to find out. In Exodus, it says this, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession among all peoples. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people of Israel." God is saying this to Moses, the leader of Israel at the time, and he calls them to be a kingdom of priests. What does that mean? Well, back in the day, in Old Testament times, simply what a priest was somebody who was to stand before God on the behalf of others. They were to function as a sort of middleman. They were to show the glory of God to the people around them. So what God is saying to Israel right here is he's saying, I want to use you. I want to bless you, but it's not just for you. See, Israel, God's design for Israel in the beginning was for him to bless them so that they would be a light to the rest of the world. And as we continue in Scripture, we can see this throughout all of our favorite Bible stories. Think of David and Goliath. We all know the story, right? There's a short dude, tall dude, an awesome headshot. It's the theme to basically every sports movie ever made. And I used to think that this story meant that as long as I had God behind me, any giant that was in my way was no big deal because I had God behind me. And while that can be true, what's the heart of this message, this story? Better yet, what does David say is the heart behind this story? Well, let's look at what he's got to say. David, right before he goes out to slay the giant, to perform a miracle of God, he says this, "This day I will strike you down, and the whole world will know that there's a God in Israel." See, God didn't empower David just for David or Israel's sake. No, he empowered David so that the whole world would know the power of our God. How beautiful is that? God blesses his people to bless all peoples. When I first became a Christ follower, I spent most of my time reading the New Testament. It's what all my pastors taught on. It's what my friends read. It was called New. It just felt like the right thing to do. But I knew that there was this part of my Bible called the Old Testament that scared me a little bit, but I knew I needed to read it. But another thing you need to know about me is I am not a reader, naturally. It's something I really have to work on. I've been told leaders are readers so many times in my life, and I'm still trying to get it. And so when a mentor came to me, and he was like, "Gunner, hey, I think you should start reading the Old Testament in the book of Psalms," I was like, "Hey, I think you're crazy. What do you think, I'm Einstein or something? You literally picked the biggest book in the Bible for me to start with." But I'm so glad that I started reading it because I realized that Psalms basically just means songs. And I was like, oh, this is like the Spotify of the Bible. I'm about this. And I'm so glad I started reading it because I feel like every time I read the Psalms, it's like the Lord speaks to my heart. And I think it's because I can see his heart in the Psalms. And the older I get and the more that I read it, the more I realize that God's heart is for the world. And I can see that specifically in the Psalms. If we look at Psalm 67, it shows us this. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us." And I'm sure most of us read that and we're like, "Shine over here, God. I'll take that blessing." But the question is, why does God's face shine upon you? Why has God's beautiful grace come to you and given you salvation? Why has God given you the gifts and the talents that you have? Why does God's face shine upon you? Let's look at the next part of the verse to find out. "May God be gracious to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations." See, God blesses his people to bless all peoples, and that includes me and you. And it's not just one time in Psalms. Over 175 times, we see the Genesis 12 promise repeated in the book of Psalms. God is a global God. And as we continue throughout the rest of the Old Testament, God remains faithful. In the prophets, God says this in Isaiah 49, "I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." And then Habakkuk 2:14, it says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." And finally, we arrive at the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi. And it says this, "For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts." From Genesis all the way to Malachi, the whole entire Old Testament, God has remained consistent and faithful because he's a faithful God. And this melody that started back in Genesis has remained consistent. God's purpose is for the world to be reached. And as we step into the New Testament, he remains consistent. As we step into the New Testament, if you look at the first page of the New Testament, you'll be in the book of Matthew. And if you look at that page, you'll see a genealogy. You see that genealogy starts with Abraham, and it follows Israel's descendants, and it follows the lineage that we just followed, and it ends in Bethlehem, where a child is born. And we know that that child would grow up to live a perfect life, and his name was Jesus. Don't you see that the promise that was made back in Genesis 12 is Jesus? He is the fulfillment of the promise. Jesus was never plan B. He was plan A from the jump. And we know that he would live a perfect life. He would die on the cross bearing our sin, our shame, our guilt. And then he would rise 3 days later conquering sin, conquering death. And if you're in this room this morning, you see, God is inviting you into a mission. He's inviting all of us into a mission. But before he does that, he's inviting you into a relationship. And he wants you. And I just want you to know that he's standing there with open arms, and he's just waiting for you to step into it. Take one step towards him, and he'll come running because he loves you. But see, what is the bigger picture in this? Why did God come and send his only son to die? Let's look at the most popular verse in Scripture to find out. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world." See, I grew up in a small town in Arkansas, and I was taught to put my name in this verse. For God so loved Gunner. And I'm here to tell you that's true. And if you were the last person on earth, Jesus would have came and died for you just the same because he loves and he cares for you, each of you. But if we forget to take our names out of the verse and see it for what it really is, we can miss our purpose. See, God didn't save you just for you. He saved you to change the world. It's just up to us to step into this mission and join him. And we can see this continued in all of the Great Commission text. See, a Great Commission text is simply Jesus telling his disciples to take this beautiful message of the gospel to the ends of the earth. So Jesus tells his disciples to take this message to the ends of the earth, not once, but five different times. In five different events, Jesus repeats himself. The first one in Matthew 28 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the ends of the age." And it continues in Mark 16:15. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation." Luke 24 says this, "This is what is written." That's a reference back to Genesis 12. That's what it's talking about when it says, "This is written. This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to where? All nations." 40 times in the book of John, Jesus is called the sent one. 40 times he's called the sent one. On the 41st time, Jesus says this, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." This means that if you're in this room and you're a believer with a pulse, you're a sent one. Now the question isn't, am I sent, but to where? Some of us will go further geographically, but we're all called to go to the lost world, commanded even to go to the lost world. And finally, we come to the last great commission, Acts 1:8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." Why does Jesus repeat himself five different times? I think it's because it's easy for us to forget, to get caught up on small purposes and miss out on joining God in this global mission. It's so easy for us to do. We're all guilty of it. But we can't let these excuses and the things of this world hold us back from this purpose because it's far too important. And I know it's important because it was important to Jesus, and it still is. See, Jesus, during his ministry, talked about money, love, forgiveness. But the resurrected Jesus, when he conquered sin, came back to life, the main thing he talked about
was the global mission. If this global mission is utterly important to our Lord, shouldn't it be utterly important to us as well? Shouldn't this be what drives our lives?
Remember back in Exodus, I was talking about what a priest is, right? And a priest is somebody who stands before God on the behalf of others. They help others experience the glory of God. Well, look at what Peter says about this topic. He's basically quoting Exodus, and when he talks about it, I want you to know that he's talking about me and you. And so as I read this, soak it in, because it's for you and me, okay? Peter says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." See, Peter is telling us that we are the priests now. What was once meant for Israel is now meant for anyone who follows and believes Jesus as their Lord. He's telling us that we are the ones that are to stand before God and get all the benefits that come with that and take this beautiful message of grace to the ends of the earth. We are to be the vessels of God's glory to the ends of the earth. See, the hope for the ends of the earth is Jesus through our words. The question is our purpose God's purpose, or is it success, materialism? Is our purpose God's purpose, or is it about relationships? Is our purpose God's purpose, or is it about us? See, Paul the Apostle, who wrote 13 books of our Bible, one of the most influential people in all of history, he wrote this about his purpose. He says this, "He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the nations." See, what he's saying here is the torch was lit back in Genesis. And the torch has been carried throughout history among the saints. And now it has come right here into present day, and it's for us to take. To take this message to the ends of the earth. See, God is inviting us to join him in the greatest purpose ever. And I'm here to tell you, there's no greater purpose to live for than his purpose. I know each of us in this room are looking for something to live for. It's in our nature. And I've walked that path too. And I know you're seeking for something. And I'm here to tell you, look no further. Because there's no greater purpose to live for than this purpose. Because all other purposes will come to an end. But this purpose comes with hope. And hope for eternity. See, there'll be one day when we'll be standing in a worship gathering before the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no more sin, no more pain. Jesus will wipe every single tear away from our eyes and we'll get to worship. And you know who will be there? All nations. Let me show you. God gives us a snapshot of this, the end times. It says, "I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count from every nation, tribe, people, and language standing before the throne and in front of God." We can have hope for the nations because God promises us that he's going to accomplish the task of reaching all nations. And now he invites us to join him in this. See, this purpose is beautiful because it's eternal. It's something we'll get to celebrate forever. It's beautiful because it's global. God has a heart for the entire world. See, God's purpose is eternal, it's global, but it's unfinished. I say it's unfinished because 2/3 of the world still wait. They still wait for the beautiful message of God's grace. If you look on the screen, this is an area of the world that we call the 1040 window. And this is a map that just helps show us where the world's most unreached people are. What an unreached person is somebody who has little to no access to the gospel. That's different from somebody who's unsaved. Somebody who's unsaved has access to the gospel but just hasn't started following Jesus yet. So let me give you some stats to kind of frame what that means. We call it the 1040 window because it starts at 10 degrees latitude and goes to 40 degrees latitude. Starts at the west of Africa and stretches all the way across Asia. And let me give you some stats about it. 65 countries live in this 1040 window. 5 billion people call this place home. 5 billion. 3 billion of them are what we call unreached. Little to no access to the gospel.
Let me read this stat to you to help frame that. It says this. There's a new statistic that came out recently that says this. 86% of those who live in the 1040 window will live and die and never meet a Christian. My question for you is, how are they to believe unless they hear? And how are they to hear unless someone goes? So we may not all move to the 1040 window, but we're all called to make an impact. Because this is tragic. So I think that summers are one of the most beautiful times of the year, right? Like, specifically summer breaks. I'm sure a lot of you will agree with me. It's a great time to kick back, drink a root beer, get a good tan, or if you're pasty white like me, get a good burn, right? And so when I was in college, I had a decision to make. How was I going to spend this beautiful time that was my summer break? And so when an opportunity came for me to go to a summer mission to the Middle East, I had a few hesitations. I was like, first of all, my parents, they're countryer than cornbread, okay? The only thing they know about the Middle East is what they hear on the news. No chance I'm going to get to go, okay? No way they're going to let me go. And second of all, I was like, I just don't know if I'm ready, okay? I've read the New Testament, and I just started reading the book of Psalms in the Old Testament, but I just don't know if I know enough, don't know if I'm ready, don't know if I'm smart enough. And lastly, I was like, I can't afford this. I need to get a job. I need to work. I can barely afford a McChicken right now, much less a plane ticket to the Middle East. Like, I'm convinced in college, if somebody would have somehow got access to my account, my bank account, and they were going to try and steal my money, they would have made it to looking at the number of my bank account and then started a GoFundMe. They'd been like, this guy, he needs some help. We got to help him out. He's struggling. But you see, the Lord started working on my heart, and I had those tough conversations with my parents. I started raising the funds to go, and God blessed me in ways that I'd never experienced before. And I realized it's not about me being good enough. It's about how great our God is. So I went. And it was one of the most difficult summers of my entire life. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. You see, while I was there, I still had Instagram, so I could see all of my friends on social media, and so FOMO was real. While I was there, my leader actually got kicked out of the country because we were sharing the gospel. So I'm in another culture, another context, another language with no leadership. And while I was there, my grandmother actually passed away suddenly of a heart attack. It was one of the most difficult summers of my entire life, but I wouldn't trade it for anything. I wouldn't trade it for anything because there was one night towards the end of the summer where I walk into this worship gathering, pretty defeated, and I sat in the back, and I watched as God moved. And I watched as 13 men from some of the most unreached places in the entire world stood up and proclaimed Jesus as their Lord and Savior, stepping out of darkness into an eternity with a loving God. And as I sat back watching this happen, I watched as each of them got baptized one after another. And I thought, there's no place I'd rather be, because this is something I'll get to celebrate forever. See, one day I'll be in a Revelation 7:9 moment, worshiping the Lamb of God. And you know who's going to be there? Those brothers. And so I've only got a few minutes with you guys. And so if you hear nothing else, hear this right here. Don't miss out on things that will last forever for things that could be gone tomorrow. There's no greater purpose to live for than His purpose, because all of these other things are going to run out. But God's inviting us to join Him in a mission that we'll get to celebrate for eternity. And it's going to be beautiful. So in life, don't pick the easy option. You see, it would have been easier to stay, but it wouldn't have been better. So in life, pick the purposeful one. Our action steps can be summed up into two words. We can go and we can send. The Lord has brought the nations right here in our backyard, and so we can reach out to international students and international families right here in your own communities. That doesn't mean that every international student or international family that you meet is going to be unsaved and from the 1040 window. But what it does mean is there's a chance that you could be the one to share God's grace with them for the very first time. And next week, we need people to go there. I'm here to ask you this question. Why not you? There are 3 billion people needing the gospel. Why not you? And know a lot of you are like, tap the brakes, Gunner. What, do you want me to hop on a plane tomorrow? And I'm like, I'd be okay with that. But probably not the wisest next step. So just take the next step wherever you're at. And we can send as well. There are not goers without senders, and there are not senders without goers, and both need to be just as sacrificial. And the first way that we can send is by giving. And I know a lot of you are like, I'm pretty broke. I don't know if I can afford to give anything. But I'm here to tell you that a generous heart doesn't start when you hit a certain number in your bank account. If you're waiting for that, it's not going to happen. It grows with faithfulness. So if you want a generous heart, be generous with what you have right now. And last, we can pray. Prayer is the fuel behind movements. And I want to see a movement amongst the nations in our generation. But it starts with prayer. So the easiest first action step you can take is to pray. I hope you see that God, the melody from Genesis all the way to Revelation has remained consistent. It's made its way all the way throughout history, and now God is inviting us to join him in his song. There's a story of a missions mobilizer named Luther Wishard. And he tells a story about he went to a location where a missions revival had broke out many years before. And as he sat there on these grounds where no one cared about it anymore, he sat there and he said a prayer. He said, God, do it again. He said, where water once flowed, let it flow again. And coming here today, I didn't know the history of this place, but your staff's told me a lot. How one day, many years ago, there were 600 students who stood up and said, I give my life to ministry, to making God famous among the nations. And I know you know that story and you've heard it before, but why not you guys? God's inviting you to join him in his song, and there's no greater purpose to live for. And so for you guys, this is my prayer, that the Lord would do it again, and where water once flowed, that he'd let it flow again. Let me pray for us. Jesus, that's what we ask. And it's nothing that one person in this room can do. It's a move of you, so would you fall? Would you fall in this place? Speak to hearts, change our hearts, and move us, Jesus. Because there's a world that needs you. And so would you use us to do something about it? We love you, Jesus. Amen.